Genesis chapter 17. This is the fourth time that God has appeared to Abraham to speak to him when he was 75 in chapter 12, I believe it is, the first time the Lord speaks to him and calls him. And then on two other occasions, the Lord appears to him. And so here we have Abraham as the Lord appears to him in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, For as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and pray, Lord, that you would help us tonight to say what your Spirit would say to the church, and Lord, that we would receive of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned, Abraham has has journeyed these many years, and this is later on, some 24 years later. If you look at the last verse of chapter 16, you see that he was 86 in that chapter. No, we don't know much about what went on there between those years. Ishmael was born 13 years, and Abraham finds himself here in this place. And the Lord reveals himself here in a unique way. That the first time in Scripture is where this is seen. He said, I am the Almighty God. Amy Grant made popular a song, El Shaddai, back in the 80s. And that's the name of God that's here. The first time in Scripture we see El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the Almighty God. And I was thinking this week about mighty. Almighty. Now, several years ago, they made a sacrilegious movie, and I think it was called Bruce Almighty, bringing God down to earth, I guess you could say. I didn't see it. I just remember the name irritated me. Almighty God, the Almighty, might, power, strength, the might of God, the strength of God, the power of God. What, you know, when you think about things that are strong and powerful, many of them evoke feelings of fear sometimes. I've been to the ocean and the overwhelmingness of that water. You get a respect for the power of nature. We had a tornado just back in the spring here in the county. The power of nature is sometimes fearful. There, you know, and I've went on occasion. I'm not much of a gun person, but every once in a while, when I hold a gun or have a gun, or I have a respect for the power that's there. That with that piece of metal, that a life could be taken, damage could be inflicted. Some power is sometimes and this word El Shaddai. When you look in your Strong's, you see that it goes back to another word that has that very idea of a power that is to be feared, a power that is in some ways destructive, a power that is violent in nature. When you think of how powerful something can be and how that it can change the course of things and how it can just abruptly make things different. Nature is powerful. Powerful. And as we think about God, he said, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. God was bringing this out to Abraham, and I'm going to just put a few ideas forth as to why he might have put this to Abraham this way, that I am the Almighty God. Because if you think about Abraham's situation, you know, he had been, I already mentioned, 24 years he's been on this journey. 13 years of God's plan work out in his own power. We have a gap in Scripture there between those two verses, and we don't know really anything coming or going about Abraham's life. But God shows up at this point in Abraham's life when he's 99 years old, and he says, I am the Almighty God. Well, now, Abraham, no doubt, he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith, but no doubt he was a man who dealt with doubt. And I believe God said, I am the Almighty God, as a way to emphasize to Abraham, Abraham, what I said was going to happen. I have the might. I have the power. I have the resources to make sure that it comes to pass. I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. I am the El Shaddai. I am the one that's sufficient enough to bring to pass my sovereign will. I'm the one that can do it. I'm the one that can make it happen. It's what God was saying to him. I am the Almighty God. And I want to mention two things tonight, that God completes his sovereign will regardless of natural impossibilities. He completes his sovereign will regardless of natural impossibilities. You look at Abraham's life, and you even see the conversation here in chapter 17 that Abraham laughs when God says he's going to have a son. He said, I'm 99 and my wife's 90. How can it be? How can it happen? The physical impossibility, the natural impossibility of having a child. And God said, I am the Almighty. I am, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God, that self-existent one, Elohim, that's the Hebrew word there, in the one that creates, the self-existent one, the one out of nothing. But here he says, I am the all-powerful one, the almighty one. You know, the Elohim, God, created all things and set the course of nature into being. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that he sustains it by the word of his power, that he set nature about. He set this universe into its place. He holds it, sustains it together. But God says here that I am the almighty God. I'm the one who can take nature and make it act contrary to itself to perform my will. I'm the one who, even though, Abraham, you may be dead in your body, even though Sarah may be dead in her body, I can bring life. I can bring life. Regardless of the natural impossibilities that may exist, I am the God who created nature, and I am the one who can compel it to do what I want it to do. I am the Almighty God. You know, in our spiritually, when you move into the new covenant, you think about that personally, by nature, we are all sinners. By nature, we are all sinners and separated by God. By nature, the holiness of God, his nature, is unapproachable by sinful men. There's an impossibility for us to come to God. There is a great impossibility for us to come to God. But Jesus, the all-sufficient one, made the difference. The El Shaddai, the Almighty God, made the difference. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's the Almighty God right there, destroying the works of the devil. In the Old Testament, there were places in Scripture where that the judgment of God, it was talking about the destruction of the Almighty would come. From the destruction of the Almighty, that in His power, that He would bring judgment. Well, that's what it says here. Jesus came that He might destroy the works of the devil. We couldn't do it. We were like Abraham. We had no means whatsoever by which to help ourselves in this impossibility of approaching God. It only came because Jesus Christ came and gave his life and destroyed the works of the devil. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." We had that impossibility standing before us, but Jesus Christ came to destroy him. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 2 and verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them open, triumphing over them." We had no means whereby which we could obtain the victory but through the blood of Jesus Christ. The impossibility of fallen man, sinful man, to approach a holy God was only, we were only made able to do that through the power of Jesus Christ. It was him that overcame that impossibility. It was him, the all-sufficient one, that paid the price for us. "The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy," Jesus said, "but I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly." We that were dead in our sins and in our trespasses, he has made alive. We were dead. Just as Abraham's body and Sarah's body for childbearing was dead, we were dead in ourselves, but Jesus Christ came and destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the power of death. He triumphed openly over the works of Satan, and we are victorious through him. The natural impossibilities. God completes his sovereign will regardless of the impossibilities that lie ahead. In human eyes, there is no way, but Jesus Christ is able. He is the all-sufficient one. Oh, we don't have any righteousness of our own. All of our righteousness is filthy rags, but his righteousness is sufficient for us to stand before God, made righteous by his precious blood. Regardless of the impossibilities, the natural impossibilities that lie in front of us, God is able to complete his sovereign will. Another point I want to make is God completes his sovereign will in light of our mistakes. In light of our mistakes. Think about what Abraham's done here. You read over his story. He's lied on a few occasions about Sarah being his wife. He took another wife at Sarah's advice, which later on she regretted, had a child. Sounds to me like somebody we just need to forget about, doesn't it? Sounds to me like somebody that we just got to write them off and find somebody else to be Abraham. See, God changed his name here from Abram to Abraham. You know, regardless of our mistakes, God is able to complete his perfect will. Regardless of our mistakes. Abraham had followed Sarah's advice. Hey, he's got this boy. He knows it's not really the promised child. God's told him that. But God said, he said there in verse, I like what God says in verse 4. "As for me, Abraham, you know, you may be discouraged about the mistakes that you've made. But as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. Abraham, you've made some mistakes, but as for me, my covenant is with you. I haven't changed my mind about what I want to do with you. I haven't changed my mind for how I'm going to use you. I have not changed my plans. You are still right in the middle of my plan, Abraham. Regardless of what you have done, regardless of the mistakes you've made, regardless of the turns in this journey that you have taken that seem to have brought you off the road that I had planned, I've still got a plan for you. And regardless of your mistake, Abraham, I am the all-sufficient one who's able to make it come to pass. I am the all-sufficient one." You think about Peter. Peter there told Jesus, "Lord, I'll never deny you." Jesus said, "You're going to. Went before this night's over, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to." Regardless of our mistakes, Peter went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus took him in and said, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus reaffirmed him. Regardless of his mistakes, personally the mistakes that he had made. You think about other men that God has used, regardless of the mistakes that they've had in their life. Matthew, that hated tax collector. Paul, the persecutor of the church. Regardless of the direction you'd gone, Paul, I've got something for you to do. Paul said, I wasn't disobedient to that heavenly vision. God had a plan. Regardless of our personal mistakes, God is still able to bring about His will and to bring about His plan. Abraham had tried to do things on his own. He tried to direct God's plan in his own human way. He tried to conceive of a way for God's plan to work and make it work himself. And we've tried to do that. I've tried to do that. And I've made mistakes. And I've turned some directions. Sometimes a young person may make a mistake in their teen years, but you know what? It's not the end. Somebody as they're raising kids, you may make a mistake raising kids, but it's not the end. Maybe in your old age, there's a mistake you've made, but God is the all-sufficient one. That regardless of the mistakes that you make in your life, He is still able to bring about His perfect will in your life. He's bigger than any of your mistakes. Your mistakes don't have more power than God has. They don't. Abraham, God said, I am the Almighty God. It's been 24 years and you've went a lot of different directions. But as for me, my covenant's still with you. The enemy would like to say to people like Abraham and others of us that's made mistakes, make us think that God's way will never be fulfilled because we've made the wrong turn. He'd like to make us think that time and opportunity has passed us by and that His will just can't be. You're not usable. You're not useful. You're not capable. You're not wanted. That's the enemy. But God's saying, as for me, my covenant's still with you. It doesn't matter about the mistakes. He would like to keep us on the sidelines in regret. Not moving forward for God. He would like to keep us hidden in shame, not advancing the kingdom of God. But God is here to say, I'm bigger than your mistake. I am the all-sufficient one, regardless of the turn that you've made in your life. And Abraham had been saying, as for me, I'm with you. My covenant is still real. You're going to have a child. My plan is going to come to be. And I don't know what it is in your life and in my life. I know what God's saying to me, but what your life that God said, God may have said something to you a long time ago. I've got a call. Here's a direction I want you to go. Here's something I want you to do. And maybe you've passed it up. Maybe on opportunities you've went the wrong way. Maybe you've chosen to do your own thing. But God is still saying, I am the all-sufficient one. I've not passed the opportunity, the ability for me to use, the ability for me to have my way, the ability for you to be advancing the kingdom of God and doing something for me. It's my ability that matters. And as for me, my covenant is still with you. It doesn't matter. God is bigger than our mistakes. You know, as a church, sometimes we can have that attitude. What are the opportunities we miss? What are the misdirections that we have taken? What are the self-sufficiencies that we've exhibited in our own, trying to come up with our own plan on how to do church and how to get church done? And what are the man-made ways that we have tried to follow? We may have made some mistakes. The enemy would like to do the same thing to a church as he does to people. Get us sidelined in our regrets. Get us wondering if it can ever happen again. Get us discouraged and down disheartened about the move of God and the possibility of the kingdom of God being realized here in this church. The enemy would like to do that, but the all-sufficient God, the all-sufficient one, is asserting Himself to us to say that my covenant is still with you. I'm still the all-sufficient one. I'm still the one that can make it happen for you. I was reading this week in the book of 2 Chronicles about one of the kings of Judah, and he wasn't really a very good king, but he went out to battle one day, and He had gathered up an army, and he had 300,000 men, and he didn't think that was enough, so he went north to the kingdom of Israel, to the northern kingdom, and he hired 100,000 men to come down for 100,000 talents. And God sent the man of God and said, "Hey, you don't need to go with them. They don't need to go with you to battle because I'm not with them. You need to send them home." Well, the king said, "Well, what about the money I've spent? What about the money?" And the prophet said, "Don't you worry about that, because God can give you twice more than what you've spent." And that's how God is. The Almighty God. The misdirections we've made, the bad financial decisions we've chosen to do, the bad, we make choices in life that oftentimes we look back on and we say, "Oh, if I just hadn't have done that, maybe I'd be in a better place now." Well, the church may look back and say, "Maybe if I hadn't done that, maybe if we'd have kept going on here, we'd have went more there, or we'd have tried this." But God doesn't look back at that. But He's saying, from this point right here, my covenant's with you, and it's regardless of what's happened in the past, I am still the all-sufficient, almighty God who can bring to pass my perfect will in your life, in this church, in this nation. I am the one who can do it. Psalm 91 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Oh, isn't that a wonderful place to be? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, that He can, you know, and it goes on to say, "For I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." That I can put my trust and my confidence in Him, that regardless of the circumstances that come my way, regardless if nature is coming against me, regardless if spiritual forces are coming against me, regardless if I'm working against my own self with some bad mistakes, He's still the all-sufficient one. And Abraham, it says here, that as God called out to him and said, "I am the Almighty God, as for me, my covenant's with you," it says Abraham fell on his face. Abraham fell on his face. He fell down before God, and it says God talked with him. God talked with him. And that's the place that we can find ourselves. When we have the reassurance that the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, is with us, we need to get in that, just on our face before God, and say, "Lord, I know it's you. Lord, I know it's you. Lord, I know you can bring it to pass. I know you can make your will come to pass in my life. I know that you can do those great things that you're planning to do in my life. You can help me to be that mom or that dad that I need to be. You can help me to be that Sunday school teacher that I need to be. You can help me to be that witness at work that I need to be. You can help me to be honest and upright. Lord, you can help us as a church to be an outreach ministry to the community around us. You can help us, Lord, as a nation. You're the all-sufficient God. As we fall on our face, Lord, that you can make up the difference. You can make up that Abraham had tried to make it happen on his own, and it didn't work. But God was saying, "I'm the one that makes it happen. I'm the one that has the power." He is the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. Oh, that we could know Him in that way. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for how you encourage us. Lord, that you are the Almighty God. And Lord, all the mistakes of my life, Lord, so many times you've made up the difference. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I want to keep seeking your face. I know that you're keeping your covenant. Lord, I want to see you have your way in my life. Lord, I want to see you have your way in this church. Lord, I want to see you have your way in this nation. Lord, when it looks like it can't happen, when it looks like revival is so far away, Lord, you are the all-sufficient one. Lord, when it looks like our ability to make things happen is so limited, Lord, you're the all-sufficient one. Praise your name. Lord, we glorify you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you. We can cry out to you, Lord, and you hear our call, and you are the one that we need. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand together.